would like to speak to you this morning concerning the will of man. And the will of man was evident from the beginning. From creation, it was obvious that God ordained for man to have a will to choose. When God created Adam and Eve, and He placed them in the garden, and when He gave them their living souls, and they somehow understood that they had a soul that would return to God. And when you and I consider the will of man, we must also consider the will of God. God's will is for all men to serve and worship Him by choice. God's will is for all men to come to repentance. That is God's will. For Adam and Eve, they had a will toward God from their creation, from the beginning. Their will was to obey God. They chose to obey God. They understood the commandment that God gave them, how that God set a tree of life in the midst of the garden. They had liberty to eat of every tree of that garden except one. And they were told what would happen. You know, God doesn't just throw us out there and say, now choose something good. But He allows us to know the choices that He offers to us. And He did that with Adam and Eve. He told them that the day that you eat of this tree, you will die. They believed it. And forever how long that they went choosing the tree of life over the tree of death, they didn't touch it. They chose not to. But there came a day that, as we know, that they took of that fruit. They chose it. Eve chose to take of that fruit. She chose then to take and give to her husband. He chose the fruit. He chose to eat of that fruit. And we know what happened. Their eyes were opened. They did not physically die. But it separated them from God. There was a barrier between them and God. And we know that from that time they were cast out of the garden. Sin entered into the world. And there's a saying that says that you and I are sold under sin. In other words, there's not been another man, woman, or child born into the world that had that pure, innocent relationship with God. We have all been born under sin, and yet we're born to have a will. The will of man is this. It is the power of conscious, deliberate action in which the mind makes choices. That's the definition. The choices are by the act of one's will. In Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verse 23, It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You and I cannot order our lives. We have the permission, if you will, from God to make our choices. He doesn't force us to choose him. He doesn't force us to choose good. Nor does he force anyone to choose evil. In other words, when the man goes to rob the bank, there isn't anyone there forcing that man to rob a bank. There is a choice that he makes. He chooses either to do the evil, or he could choose to not do it. In Exodus 35 and 5, it says, Whosoever is of a willing heart, and just that's just a little portion of that verse. You and I can have a heart that is turned toward God and desiring God and willing to serve God, or we can have a heart that is hard, that is turned toward those things not of God. Revelations 22:17 says, Whosoever will. So we have a will, and it's every one of us. Every human being that is born into this world, God grants them the choice, what they want to do with their life. And the scripture there says, Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You can make a choice. Matthew 8 and 34, it says, Whosoever will come. So if it's in our heart to come to the Lord, he gives us something that we have to do in order to exercise a right will. And then Jesus said in here, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Let him follow me. So those are some of the scriptures that allows us to have a little picture of the will of man. God offers things for you and me to choose from. He presents choices. He presents good choices. He offers a choice that you can make for salvation. You can choose to be saved. We know that the scripture says that no man can be saved except the Father draw him. We recognize there is a part that God plays, but there is a part that you play, that I play. We can choose a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. We can choose to accept it, or we can choose to reject it. God has a will. He offers it. He offers grace. Grace of God that brings salvation, the scripture says, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, helping us to make a choice, in other words. There's a song that also says, the grace of God that brings salvation. So the grace of God is offered, and there's another song that says, the grace is offered you, dear sinner. So grace is offered, and it's for me to either accept it or reject it. I don't see that there is a place that I can be somewhere in the middle. I will have to make a choice. God blesses eternal life. He offers eternal life. This is some of the things he offers. He does not force you to accept eternal life, but he offers it. I want to read a scripture now in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, very familiar. But it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He proclaimed liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." He offers all of this. He offers a way out of your prison. He offers a way out of those broken places, those places that you feel you're enslaved to. He offers a way out, but you have to choose it. It's not going to happen unless you do choose it. And so we had a little message last Sunday on trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. And he offers a real exchange. He says, "I'll give you beauty for ashes." But you know, you and I have to see the ashes of our life before we can exchange it for the beauty that the Lord wants to give us. He says, "I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I'll exchange this, but it's your choice. You can choose the oil of joy, or you can choose the spirit of heaviness. It's your choice. Deuteronomy, the third chapter, verse 19, is also a familiar scripture and has been quoted here many, many times. It's probably been a key scripture that I have used over the years. I have said many times what my calling is. My calling is really to the saints. For the righteous to sin not. But occasionally the Lord sends and inserts these messages to awaken us all, wherever we are. It doesn't matter if you're saved 50 years, you're still making choices every day. You can choose whether you continue or whether you wish to take your own way. God gives you that choice. He gives you that liberty. So Deuteronomy 3:19, it must be. Is it set before you life and death? 30? I didn't write it down right. Thank you. It says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose." The Lord is desiring that we choose right. He's never wanting to tempt you with wrong. God does not tempt man. He does, with the temptation, make a way to escape. That's what he does. And we have to choose that way to escape, in order to escape. And so he says, choose life. And there is an extended blessing if we choose right. It says that both thou and thy seed, who is that? My children. My children are going to be affected by my choices. However I choose, then it's going to be passed on to my children. If I choose life, now it doesn't mean my children necessarily will choose life, but they have a greater opportunity to. There's a greater chance that my children will choose life if I choose life. But I can almost guarantee that if you choose death, your children will choose death. It is just the nature of man. We cannot guarantee that our children will choose life, but we can almost guarantee if they will choose death. So it's a choice. God sets a choice before you. Life and death, blessing and cursing. It seems as though that wouldn't even be a question. Who in this world will say, I choose death? Who in this world would say, oh, I choose cursing? Man wants to choose the good things, but if he does not have the Spirit of God within him, he will choose death. And the next scripture is in Joshua 24. We're talking a little bit more about choices. 24:15. And it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. So that tells me there's more than one master. I know God. I believe with all of my heart. I thank God that he has revealed unto me that he is the true God. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you glad that you're not in darkness? Aren't you glad that you're not out there wondering who is God? But you and I know who God is. We've tasted of him. We've experienced him. And so Joshua says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He ended that passage with, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But see, the children still have to grow up and make their choices. But they have a better chance if I've chosen the right way. They have a better chance. Then there's a scripture over in 1 Kings and chapter 18, verse 21. I'm going to read several of those verses in there. 18, verse 21. Said, and Elijah came unto the people and said, now, what's the setting here? Many people had made some wrong choices that knew God. They began to serve another God. They began to serve Baal. God was sent Elijah. He sent Elijah to the people, and this is what he said. How long shall ye halt between two opinions? Maybe they remembered the true God, but yet they liked having a visible idol to bow down to. People are that way. They like the visible things. It's hard for them to worship a God that they really cannot see with their eyes. And so no doubt they were seesawing back and forth. Well, we remember the real God, but look at this one over here. I can see this one. So how long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And so we're going to put this to the test. We're going to see which God is the real God. Because he's offering something that an idol cannot offer. He's offering a power. This idol is nothing but stone and wood. This idol has no ears. This idol has no mouth. It cannot speak. Oh, thank God for the true God. Well, we know the account. It is one account I encourage you to read occasionally. to strengthen your faith, to have the faith that Elijah had. He put God to the supreme test, humanly speaking. He fixed up the altar. He took water. He built the ditch. I believe it was 12 barrels of water, was it not? He wet the wood. Wood doesn't burn that is wet. He did everything he could to prove the power of God. Why? He wanted the people to make the right choice. Anybody can choose an idol. Anybody can fall down before an idol. I told this story maybe in a Bible study here. It's true. Some country that worships idols. And when they pray, this is how they pray. They write their prayer on a piece of paper. And they wrap it around a rock and make it stick to the rock. Or mud. It was mud. It had mud, and they put the prayer around it. And then they threw it, and if it stuck to the idol, their prayer was answered. If the paper fell down, it was hopeless. Oh, I'll tell you what, you can choose God. He has ears. He has eyes. He sees your heart. He's a discerner of your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows how to help you like nobody else knows. He is able. What happened when the simple prayer was offered for God to prove himself? The scripture says fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water, even licked up the dust. It consumed it all. What did the people say then? Oh, this is the true God. They made a choice. Their God could not do it. He had given the opportunity all day long for the prophets of Baal to call down fire to consume their sacrifice. He even taunted them and said, "Oh, your God must be asleep." They began to cut themselves and cause pain and suffering in order to get the attention of their God that was dead. Had no life. So why would we choose death when we have life that is offered unto us? Thank the Lord. So don't halt between two opinions. Choose what you know is right. Choosing. You know what it is? If I put up here a piece of pie and a piece of cake, I said, you can have one, but not both. Choose what you want. That's a choice. It is an act of your will. Your will has all to do with the choices that you make in life. Choosing life, what is it choosing? If I say I choose life, I set before you this day life and death. And I say I choose life, what are you choosing? For one thing, you're choosing God's way. You're turning your back on your way. I'm choosing God. It is to choose his plan of redemption. He has a plan that is perfect. It will reach to every generation to the end of time. It will reach to every soul that will call upon Him in the name of the Lord, that will repent. It works. It produces the same power that it did on that sacrifice. Oh, you might say, I don't want to be burned up. There's part of us that need to be burned up. Not literally. It needs to be consumed, because there's something in us as flesh that wars against the soul, fights against the will. So what are you choosing? You're choosing salvation. You're really choosing eternal life. You're really choosing heaven over hell. Because you're making a choice. God does not force His way upon any man, and He offers you the choice. Life or death, blessing or cursing, heaven or hell. Believe there's a heaven and a hell? Many people don't. Many people do not believe there's a heaven, and many people do not believe there's a hell. Do you think there's going to be a shock at the end of their journey and they step over into eternity and find God Himself, who will place them where they belong? Because they made a choice. We have a song that says, Lost Forever. I'm going to read you a verse of it. Where will you go, poor sinner? How will your soul escape? Think of thy lot when forever cast in the dark, burning lake. You know, a lot of people just... those words don't stick in the mind and do not affect the will. I have expressed this here many times of how it was when I was a child, 50, 60 years ago. Our assembly meetings, our camp meetings were with power. The spirit of conviction rested upon the people. I personally witnessed and do remember that there were people that would come in and not even hear the message. And we would be in an altar call service. The conviction of the words of the songs could touch people's hearts. People would go to the altar, even with the conviction of songs. I'm reading you a song that is one that would have touched people's hearts. Think of thy lot when forever cast in the dark burning lake. If then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember you've chosen to be there. We don't sing that song very often. We don't seem to really remember I'm making a choice for heaven or hell every day. I'm making a choice of life or death. Blessing or cursing. It's my choice. Nobody else can make me do it if I don't want to. God doesn't make you do it. So heaven or hell is one of our choices. But I want to tell you something. God offers another way. In the midst of all of this life in 2017, no matter how the spirit of conviction is lifted from the earth, The spirit of conviction can still be here if you choose it. You have to choose it. It may not be as strong and powerful. Do you know why it isn't? Because many people have chosen death. Their hearts are hardened. They've turned God away. They've been blinded in their eyes. They're deceived. We have many people today that are spiritually deceived. The scripture even says that they are right in their own eyes. Listen, I want to tell you, you have to be right in the eyes of God. You can't just be right in your own eyes. The scripture tells us of how that a man can look himself in the mirror and see himself. Maybe through something that the Spirit of the Lord has sent into that person's life to prick his conscience, to awaken him for a moment. Did you ever have that? Did you have messages that came across, or even dreams that you had at night, or a testimony, or something came and it touched you? My brother, just 2 weeks before he got saved, he wept. He said, "Maxine, I've got to change my life." How did he know that? The Spirit of the Lord had shown him himself. He wasn't walking away from it and forgetting what manner of man he was. But today, because of the time we're living in, because of the darkness of this world, because the spirit of conviction can't really touch people's hearts, men are walking away and forgetting what manner of person that they are. God offers a way. He is still offering a way in 2017. And if you live to the year 3000, you won't. You won't live 100 years. Your life is limited right now. There, if I had an hourglass right here and the sands were moving to the bottom globe, that's what's happening in your life, in my life. And we are headed, some call it this, we are eternity-bound souls. We're headed there. If time doesn't come to an end in itself, my time is going to come to an end. Your time will come to an end. In 100 years, you won't be here. No one in this room will be here in 100 years by nature. What does God offer? He offers a straight and a narrow way. And he says it leads to life. But there's another way. See, there's always something you can choose. You get your choice. You can have this cake or you can have this pie, but you can't have both. There's a broad way. It's an attractive way. It offers many things. It offers to appease your flesh. It offers to entertain you. But it will only be for a little season. It will only last a short time. You can give in to your flesh. You can choose it. And when it's finished, it will bring forth death. It will not be satisfying. When you wake up in the morning and you have had a night that you have spent in your flesh, and you can you look at yourself in the mirror? Can you face yourself? I want to tell you how people face themselves after living in sin in a night. They give themselves over. They choose it. I choose not to feel shame or guilt. I choose it. What happens then? The conscience begins to get hard. The heart begins to get hard. And pretty soon, I can come to service and I can even say amen, but in my heart, what's happened? Lord, have mercy. God still offers a choice. I believe that in His great and tender mercy, He could still even offer a choice to one that is hard in their heart, if they'll choose it. If they will seek after it. If they will begin to cry unto the Lord. Lord, change my heart. He'll do it. He has a plan. It's perfect. I want to go back now to Mark, the 8th chapter and verse 34 again, and give a little more comments about it. It says, whosoever will come after me, it's a choice. You will have to make the choice to come after Him. And then you and I will have to deny ourselves. That's a choice. I choose to deny myself. There seems to be two parts in every man. And I'm saying there are two parts in you today. You have a will, and it is a spirit. You have a spirit, and you have flesh. And you have your will controls one or the other. A choice. You can choose to submit to the spirit that is drawing you, or you can submit to the flesh that is also drawing you. Jesus said in Matthew the 26th chapter and verse 41, He said this, and it's still a message today. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, because the spirit indeed, it, and I'm inserting this, it may be willing. You may have moments that you feel a draw. You even may have convictions. Maybe in the night, the Lord may awaken you in the night. And you may feel, yes, I need to change my life. I told my brother when he said that to me that day, I need to change my life. I said, Bobby, I said, time is running out. I said, you need to make your calling and your election sure. And that is what we all hear today. We need to make our calling and election sure. Time is running out. But it said the spirit, your spirit could have some willingness to it right now. But your flesh is weak and it's drawing you away from that call. Jesus said those words. That's what He meant. Also, there is a portion of a scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 11. And it says, abstain. See, that's your job. You might say, well, God, He can save anybody. All you have to do is just say, I believe in God and you're saved. I'm trusting Him as my Savior. There are thousands of people in our world today that are basing their hope on saying those words with no result, no power, but believing that they are eternally saved. What a shock at the end of all of this, because Jesus said, or Peter said, you have something to do. You have to abstain. What does that mean? You have to make a choice. It says, abstain from fleshly lust. You see the spirit and the flesh here? One is saying, the spirit is saying, don't do it. And the flesh is giving in to it. And then he said, these things war against the soul. I quoted that a while ago. I'd like for you to go back to Isaiah 61 and 1. I want to consider that scripture again, where it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good tidings. And all of these wonderful things that he wants to offer unto you. I want to remind us of his offer. These are offered to you and me. And it's a wonderful thing to accept life, to choose life. So it comes down to our will. You can choose to be delivered. You can choose the way of the cross. Or you can choose the flesh. I'm going to tell you a little story in closing. And I think it really fits with the message this morning. I actually heard this through an exhortation that Brother Michael spoke at the LaRonger meeting. It had a profound effect on my mind. So I talked to him about it. He had read it in a little book that someone had given to him, and it really inspired me to want to have that book. So I found out what it was, got online, ordered it. And the book I thought was nothing like what I thought it was. Could not find this story in the book. And I was so eager to want to read it for myself. And I texted him and I said, does this author have other books by the same title? And he texted back and he said, no, there's just certain little stories that are inserted throughout the book. Well, last night I took the book and I looked at it page by page until I found this story, because I wanted it to make the impression on all of us today like it did me. The story is about a king whose brother unsuccessfully tried to assassinate him. So as a punishment, the king imprisoned his brother in a room with a window facing the sea. Seemingly, the room was built around this man rather than being put in there, because there was a normal-sized door and a normal-sized person could walk through the door. Now, this door was never locked. It was always open. But this man, this brother, was not a normal-sized man. He was very large. He could not fit through the door. So he was in prison. He was locked in the prison by his choice, because he could choose to walk free. But the king's servants They would bring platters of food every day and set in the window. Now the man had to walk over to the window and see the beautiful outdoors. The sound of the sea, the seagulls with their free sounds, sound of the wind, the beautiful blue sky. But he chose the food. He could not resist the richness of the food. And he continued to get larger and larger. He died in that cell. He could have chosen to deny himself, and he would have walked free. He could have gone through the door. He could have enjoyed life. You know, it's a lot like us. God offers you and me freedom. Freedom from what? To be free from sin, the degradation of sin, the blight of sin. He offers you and me liberty to walk in Him free. But here we are. We're in a cell. The door is there. It's not even locked. The scene is there at the window. I can look out and I can see the joys of the Lord. I can see what He has to offer. He is so good. Our God is good if we take His goodness. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that His mercy endureth forever." But it's only for those who choose it. If you don't choose it, it's just there. Like the picture looking out the window that this man looked at every day. When the plate of food, when the platters of food, it said, and he chose that. When you and I choose to not deny ourselves, we stay in our cell. We're still in prison. When Jesus said, "I came to set the captives free. I came to set those that are bound in the prisons. I can unlock the door." The door isn't even locked. It's all in your choice. To balance this message, you have to keep it in your mind. You can't save yourself. You have a choice. Only God has the power to save you. He has the power to give you, to overcome. He has the power to deliver. That's, and when you choose it, and when you deny yourself, you'll become a man that can walk through the door and be free. I want to end with a song, and I'll have to have a songbook, for I didn't write it down, but I need a songbook, please. Remember what your will is. Your will is to make a conscious, deliberate choice to choose life or blessing. Thank you. We have a song in here. 390. The title of it is Farewell to Sin. Did you know it's a choice? And it says, "I will part with thee, O Master, Well, it says old master. I think I just said oh master, but I'm telling you, this master has been around since the beginning also. He's well equipped to know how to take you down his road. He knows how to get you. He knows how. You're no match for the enemy. I'm no match for the enemy. I will part with thee, old master. That is a choice. This is my firm resolve. I made a resolve. A resolve is a choice. And I'll boldly state my reason why we must now dissolve. And it's the course that should awaken us today. The wages of sin is death. And it's repeated over and over. We should get the message once we read, sing this chorus, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. After a while, I better get the message. It should awaken me. The wages of sin is death and woe. I want to tell you, there is plenty of woe to be had in this life. And it's the result of our choices. We pay the price. The Lord said, it's part of his whole design is you and I will reap what we sow. If I am sowing unto the flesh, I will of the flesh reap corruption. But if I will sow to the Spirit, I have a choice. I will reap life everlasting. Oh, doesn't it appeal to you to reap life everlasting? Death and woe and bitter remorse. I found it so. The writer of this said, I found it so. Bitter, bitter, bitter remorse. And woe. That's what I found. Until I said, I will part with thee, old master. Quite a bit in this song. He said, I've served thee long and faithful. Confessed you were my Lord. All your way was dark and painful. But what was my reward? Bitter remorse and woe. Sister Mary preached a message here recently. And those of you that were here might remember that she said this was not her normal message. Anybody remember her saying that? She started out preaching on two. In reality, we've been preaching on two also. Choices. You get a choice. This or this. Can't have both. You've got to have one or the other. But she talked about eternity. And I've never heard her preach a message like it. God is being faithful. He is offering eternal life. He is offering salvation. It's my choice. I confess too, this is not my normal message. God knows what he's doing. Whether you're here this morning and you're saved, whether you're well, you might say, well, I'm not really where I should be. I may just be in the middle of the road right now. Well, I suppose God would allow someone to be in a place of decision. But there will come a place that you will have to make a choice. Because rejecting it is making a choice. Lord, help. Pray for me.